Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of Goracom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out important news. If you believe in the future of electric vehicles and the batteries that power them, then Power Nickel is the emerging growth company you need to start paying attention to, because as the company said in a press release just the other day, this mineral resource estimate establishes Power Nickel as one of the world's best nickel investment opportunities. And they're saying that because their NISC property with numerous historical high-grade nickel intercepts is in the jurisdiction with three other battery metal explorers, including Critical Elements and Nemaska Lithium. Highlights here, they're targeting 20 to 50 million tons of nickel over the next 2 years, and they're aiming to make NISC the world's first carbon neutral nickel mine. That would be unbelievable and revolutionary. And recent financings show the third party validation that Terry and his team aren't just talking their own book. That's because CVMR, the world leader in nickel powder, wire, and anode production, and a key supplier to the battery, defense, and aerospace industry, did a $2.75 million financing round at 90 cents per share in flow-through financing. That's to fund a feasibility program. And Rob McEwen needs no introduction to anybody. A mining Hall of Famer led the company's most recent financing round. And today, the press release talk about 43-101 is out in excess of 7.2 million indicated tons. Terry, welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back, George. It's indicated and inferred. 5.4 indicated, 1.8 inferred.
First of all, your quote: "We believe this mineral resource estimate established us as one of the world's best nickel investment opportunities." I mean, you're well known in the industry. You're a leader, and for you to make a statement like that, you're not just saying that to talk your book. Before we get to the numbers, back that up for us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so we basically just compare ourselves to other high-grade nickel sulfide projects around the world that are undeveloped. And we look at their market cap versus the number of tons they have. And you look at ours, and you'd see that we're trading at between 10 to 20% of their value. Yet we obviously, you know, now on a market cap per ton basis would be the cheapest when we're arguably in the best jurisdiction, best location, perhaps even have the most upside in terms of exploration. So that's how we make that math, George, is just by going through the math of the deposits, comparing apples for apples. And if you did that as a rational person, you'd come to that conclusion.
Right. So this isn't just subjective. Terry thinks his baby is the most beautiful baby in the world. This is apples to apples, math to math. And I guess that explains why you've got the backing of the likes of Rob McEwen and CVMR, right? These are very smart people. You can't pull the wool over their eyes. If you're just talking smack, they're not going to be in your financing rounds, right?
That's 100%. Yeah.
So the 43-101 is out, 132% increase over the historical 3.1 million tons. How happy were you for this to be released?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to get it out and put this, you know, sort of, flag in the sand, if you would. And we think it establishes as a commercial deposit. I think you really need to get to 10 million plus to really sort of be super positive for the sector. But, we see that visibility just around the corner. And, we've got six of the seven holes we drilled this fall weren't included in the resource. So there's we already know there's more there. And we don't have any problem seeing, as we talked about in the outset, you know, Lynn Lake was another ultramafic deposit, 22 million tons. Voisey Bay is over plus 50. We think we're certainly going to be in that range and towards, I think, the top end of it. You know, so that's sort of where we're charging for. And we think we're off to a hell of a start.
You have to mark down that Voisey Bay comment, because I want to put that in a clip, because that's really saying something. Now, question. You had devil's advocate in interviews before. You had mentioned you were targeting 8 to 10 million tons when estimating what it would be. Why did we come in at 7.2, which is still a great number?
How'd you
fall just a little short there?
Yeah, so basically just didn't get some of the assays back in time to include them in the report. So that would be the primary reason. And it's you know, when you do a 43-101, it's grade and tonnage, right? So the lower you drop your grade, the more you increase your tonnage. And our metallurgical results were, I would say, they're okay. If you're for making a concentrate, we had our grade of about 1.13% when you combine them. And basically, you know, that was for the concentrate. You know, working with CVMR, one of the reasons that was so attractive for us to work with them is that they make a finished product. So instead of making a concentrate, which is great for the refineries, but not so good for the miners, because you need a lot of material in the rock to make the concentrate in a way that they like to process it. And they sort of dictate. When you have your own facility where you're making powders, wires, anodes, precursors for the EV plants, you can generate over 90% material. So we'll pick up, we think, 30%. So we'll get that grade back, and that will automatically enhance the tonnage that we can do as well. So we're feeling that, you know, within the 43-101, it's a very rigorous and very mandated type of disclosure and what can be done. And when we get to the point where we'll have benchmarking studies from CVMR and prototype discoveries, then we'll be able to use that in the next update of the 43-101 or a PEA or whatever, and possibly, you know, the bankable feasibility study as we go forward. So ultimately, you know, we feel that those numbers will be obtained and they're already there. It just was a, you know, how the process had worked to make it a concentrate versus the end product.
So that 1.13% nickel equivalent, you think thanks to CVMR and their refining and processing, they're going to be able to take it up to where you need to get to about that 1.5% range.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that we need to get there, because most people would die to have 1.13%, but to get to 1.5, it just enhances your economics, means that, you know, in terms of adding more tonnage, you can bring in lower grade materials because now your cutoff is, you know, you've got more to work with. So there's a lot of pluses to it.
Overall, what should the market take away from this report? Because I think it's a great start, 7.2 million tons. What do you want the market to take away from this report?
Yeah, the market should take away from this report that this thing is going to become a mine and mines get paid. Wow. And we're right now as if we're like some sort of just explorer out there that's hoping to track down something, trading for like 35 million or something when we should be trading for 200 million in my mind. Because if I had to sell this tomorrow to industry, I would get that. I 100% believe if I put up a for sale site on NIST tomorrow, I would sell this to industry and would have lined up to come in to buy it at that price. Because this thing's got upside way beyond that. But, you know, it's like there's a disconnect in the market here. And, you know, we're not the only one. But now that we've gotten the proof, you know, there was a number of funds couldn't buy until we had posted a 43-101, right? So we had to get that in place, you know, just for some funds to be able to legitimately put us in their portfolio. We're at the end of the year, you know, they'll start the new year off. You know, so I think the next, three, 4 months is going to be really critical. Like we'll see, I think, a big charge up in the valuation based upon these math numbers that people do. And obviously more drilling results, more news, benchmark studies from CVMR, prototype studies from CVMR, you know, updated exploration, results, et cetera. So just action packed over the next literally 6 months. We're at some point, George, the math has got to go up radically north, or we'll have to sell the thing for 200 million because we can't keep stealing the from our current shareholders. You know, that's just not right. You know,
several multiples, by the way. A lot of people watching this don't know what your market cap is right now, but at $200 million, you're talking about multiple appreciation. Let's go back, because a couple of times you talk about what's coming next 6 months and you rattled off a few things, but not everyone's familiar. If we could just go a little slower, just give us a bit of a cadence of what you expect to take place. What are the next steps now? Because it's not just drilling and assays and drilling and assays. You got a lot more going on. So let's kind of go through that a little bit.
Sure. So basically, you know, we're running down a couple of pathways. We're running down the pathways of seeing how big this thing can be, which is the exploration pathway. So let's talk about that first, and then we'll get into the production side. So on the exploration side, tomorrow on Wednesday, we're hosting at 4 o'clock, and you can find it on our website. It's a podcast with Fleet Space Technologies. Fleet does the ambient noise tomography, which I really think is going to revolutionize the industry. And it can't be used in just by itself. You know, you need gravity, you need seismic, you need IP, you need downhole EM, airborne EM, all those tools. But if you put this on top of it, it's really the secret sauce, and it's amazing. And so it's actually Australia's fastest growing company now. I think they got $1 billion valuation, private company. Rio Tinto is their biggest customer. So these guys are, really exciting. So we're one of the, we're definitely the first client in Canada. We came across it because Elon Musk brought it to Talon Metals when he did his offtake agreement. So SpaceX put them in satellites in the sky. So we're going to do that. We've done a major body of work with them, 4 months of work, and it's pretty exciting what we've seen. And we're going to talk about that in depth tomorrow. And basically what we see is that we've got this one pod. It's helping us explore that more efficiently. And we've gotten some examples of early victories on that. And then we see at least two to the north and two to the northeast and two to the southwest of identical pods to NISC Main. And what they found is that there's an actual signature where what their system does is measures the velocity of the rock. So they, in this case, the ultramafic sensor. It's crazy. I know, but it turns out everything in life has everything on the earth has a velocity that you can measure in a wave. And so the ultramafic rock's about 4,500 beats. And then when it drops off to about 37, this is where the massive sulfides get deposited almost on a one-for-one basis. So what we've been able to do is identify this signature is what's working, in this part of the earth. And so we say, okay, where else in our land package do we have that signature? Okay. And so we look there, we've got like four big areas that have that signature and fit our other criteria, what we're looking for. So there's a highly desirable target areas and we'll be drilling those, this winter. So, the question is, okay, will there be another discovery like this? Well, highly likely, given that every nickel sulfide mine in the history of man since time immemorial has always been multiple pod. It just seems to be that's how Mother pops it up. Now, could we be the first that isn't like it? I guess we could. You can always be the first. Be most unusual, be the first in the history of man. So I don't think that's likely to happen based upon what we see.
We'll bet against that scenario. We'll go with Mother Nature.
With Mother Nature.
99.8% so likely to have multiple pods.
And my guess is we haven't found the best pod yet. So we're going to find a bigger pod with richer ore. Because what are the odds you got the best one first if there's five of them? 20%, 1 in 5. So you remember that step out hole we did to the northwest where we're going to start, northeast, pardon me, where we'll start drilling after Christmas, where we had the 8 meters of the 1 ounce PGMs. I mean, that's super rich, right? So that's where we're going to start the show off in the new year, we're pretty pumped about that. So the exploration really is going to come, by following up these pods. And then we're also, I don't know if you know this, but in nickel's quite heavy, right? In association with iron, it tends to sink. So most nickel mines, the action is from 500 meters to 2 kilometers. So NISC is most unusual in that we're from surface to 500 meters. We might have 4 or 5 pods in that range, which would be like crazy. Could be like 30, 50 million tons just with that. But then, like, if you look at Norilsk was found as a surface deposit, smallish, 10, 20 million tons. And then they found the deep monsters, that have made Norilsk the only $1 trillion deposit in Earth. So is there something deeper here? Again, most likely, it seems like when nickel gets deposited, it tends to go deep. So, it could be that we'll find this stuff up top. And then there's going to be some deeper stuff. So we're doing some, we're going to be over the next, 12 to 18, 24 months, we'll be doing some deeper targeted research, directional drilling to, as we do, we're going to be doing some deeper probes, probably with Fleet this summer on the very deep stuff. I'm talking, 500 meters to 1 kilometer deep. And who knows? So I think when people ask me, because I will tell them it's the best nickel investment deal on the planet, not the one of them. and they say, well, why do you say that? And I say, well, it's, all about is asymmetric risk. I think if you're an investor, and I'm just an investor, George, I'm not a geologist, I'm not a geophysicist, I'm just an investor that wants to make a profit on my own capital and for my shareholders. And so what we'd like to do is take a little risk and have a lot of potential return. That's what asymmetric investing is all about. And that's what we've got a chance to do here, at NIST, is we've got something that's very valuable, worth far more than we're at right now. And we'll be able to monetize that if we have to. But if we can hang in the game here, we may be onto something that could be truly remarkable. We could have, one of the biggest deposits ever. And it's like
generation, right? Shareholders of our nickel today could be benefiting from this for decades.
You got to take those shots. That's what the magic of mining is all about. And, that's what's made Canada such a legendary place. It's had so many, killer discoveries that were, that 30, 40 years later are still producing for the country, for the community, for the shareholders, and there's no reason why this can't be another one.
Hey, and if Fleet Space Technologies find something really interesting, hopefully they'll whisper in Elon's ear and say, "Hey, PowerNick."
Yeah, and Rio Tinto's ear. I mean, look, we've got a lot of eyeballs on NISC. You know what I mean? Trust me, in our data room, we've got some of the biggest mining companies in the world, and all the battery guys. It's because everyone wants Class One nickel in North America. It's super hard to find, and we're the last man standing. In terms of new supply, so that's exciting for a lot of people.
By the way, let's touch a little bit on carbon neutral, because I said that in my intro, but that's really important because something I heard last week, Terry, was there was a company that was looking, I can't be specific, but a big company in the U.S. that was looking to expand its resource, and its board basically said, unless you can do this in a carbon neutral way, don't do it. We don't care because we have to be carbon neutral from here on out. Otherwise, our customers are going to reject us at the end of the day. So how big of it? Talk to us a little bit. Why can't we be carbon neutral?
It's a massive competitive advantage for us. And to the most part, it's just luck, George, in that we happen to be in Canada, in Quebec, beside the road. There's Quebec Hydro Station across the road from us. Green hydropower is the number one thing. Okay, so we're powering it with, renewable energy. So that's just, luck. God bless. We're also lucky in that it's an ultramafic deposit, and we know the ultramafic tailings naturally sequester CO2. So again, not anything that we've engineered. We're just, taking advantage of this natural piece of good luck. What we have engineered is, we it's a philosophy. So recognizing this was possible for us, we decided that, hey, we can differentiate ourselves and be good citizens, but also good economic sense for our shareholders by, wrapping ourselves in the carbon neutral fund. So we use CarbonX to offset our drilling, and they're a leader in that space, and we'll use them going forward. And then we looked at people, there's three ways to make nickel: smelting, hydrometallurgy, and chemical metal vapor process. So the chemical metal vapor process been around for 100 years. The leader in that space is CVMR. And it's the most environmentally friendly approach to making nickel. So no external air or water. So it's the least carbon intensive. So by working with them, we can blend it all together. And then what we'll wrap it up with is we'll actually add a recycling plant as part of the process, is what our thinking is, because it's very economic to do so at the outset, extra like 15 million in CapEx. And then all of a sudden we can take back batteries at the end of their life, break them down into their component parts and re-merchandise it. So that will make us literally carbon neutral, or maybe even carbon positive. And that will be phenomenal economically. We expect to generate an extra $1,500 to $2,000 a ton. That's a benchmark, associates, that's a number that they've come up with. And it will also, we just think, make our product that much more desirable for all of our end use customers, right? Because they'll be able to say, hey, I've got this great clean Quebec nickel that's, it's quite carbon neutral, that'll allow them to do other things with their other, because as they're building these parts, that becomes part of their economics, is that I got to get to this carbon footprint number. If I can get to it, using this nickel, then it means I can be a little bit more offside over here, maybe save some money over there in another way, So it really does become a really interesting dynamic. And that's, you know, that's the production side that we talked about exploration. And I think, you know, the production side of this thing is, you know, the other big plus, the CVMR.
Marcus kind of threw that because you're in a very unique position with them. You've already got somebody telling you, hey, Terry, we'll take your nickel. We'll make it even better grade, higher grade, better quality. And then we'll get more money out of it at the end of the day, rather than, all right, Terry, found this nickel. You and George are going to go shovel it out and just sell it on the back of a truck like everybody else does. Walk us through that, because that's huge to have that in your back pocket, and they're putting
money in their mouth. So that was like, you know, something that we learned, you know, and because I only ever thought that we'd be selling a concentrate. So when I was introduced by this banker friend of mine to CVMR, it was like, you know, it was a bit of, I had not that much experience in the sector. So I had to get educated as to, you know, they were basically the finished refinery, you know, that they have mines that go full mine to refinery too, but they have a number of refinery plants. And what they are is that they're pretty much the top technical nickel producer in the world, I'd say, or arguably one of them anyway. I mean, if you think of this, they make the plate that makes the US $100 bill. So you imagine the scrutiny you would have to go through to be accepted by the U.S. Department of Treasury to handle that little treasure is a funny story about that we can get into perhaps if we have time. So there's one. The second is their biggest client is U.S. Department of Defense. They have two joint ventures with them. So, you know, they can't even tell me what they make for those guys, you know, but obviously, you know, nickel has a lot of tremendous properties. So for aerospace, these types of things, it's enormously attractive, and they make the best, right? So the super colliders have these $10 million nickel tubes, 5/9 purity, they make them. So obviously these guys are very top technical in, you know, approach. And what they do, that this process basically breaks the thing down to the atom. So the nickel atom gets atomized, and then they reformat it into whatever powders or nanopowders or wires, or whatever.
Man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And so these guys are like, it's just a brilliant chemical process that these guys have figured out, reagents, and just like, you know, these guys are, you know, this process has been developed over the years, and it's amazing, you know, and some of the most senior people from Inco retired and are now working with CVMR. And these guys are like, you know, the top of the top of the top, you know, so it's really comforting to work with people of that caliber and to have them excited about your project, because they recognize that, you know, that it's very difficult to get economic ore grades, you know, in nickel, you know, it's very hard. And this thing will probably cost, I don't know, somewhere between $300 and $400 million. We'll obviously find that out in the feasibility process that CVMR is doing. But it's far less expensive than say these lower grade processes, which have to have so much crushing and so much power. You know, they're in excess of a billion. Their returns are, you know, less than 20%. I'm sure our IRRs would be, you know, over 100%. Like, this thing will pay out in a year. It's crazy. And it's like CVMR said, you really should be starting to see yourself as a refiner, not a miner, because this will never be idle. Like, when your ore bodies run out, let's hope you get the 50 million tons or 100 million tons, whatever might be down there. When it runs out, because it eventually will run out, we will bring another ore and we'll be still making the products here. Because this is what happens with refiners. They never get shut down. So it's pretty interesting, you know, and he contacted me today. I was chatting with him. He's in the Democratic of Congo, where he does work down there. They've got some facilities down there, and he's saying, look, you know what, we're going to be able to ship you cobalt from here, to process at that facility. You know, that's one of the things I'm working on, you know. So I mean, so this will become not just a nickel thing. It'll become, you know, we'll be getting into other projects, which is awesome, right? So it's a really exciting opportunity that we were able to network our way into, and you know, they're fair-minded people. We're having a great working relationship right now, and we hope it continues to unfold. And the next steps are, they'll provide us a benchmark studies. We would hope to get that out in the next couple of weeks, And that would sort of say,
so we're gonna more coming up for Christmas.
Yeah,
I like
yeah, that. Yeah. Those benchmark studies would be pretty important, because that point where I say about us getting the extra 30% back of the grade, that'll be substantiated by the benchmark studies. And then we'll get into the actual prototype studies, which will be, say, another 2 months beyond that, to where they actually build the mini plant and they run our ore through it. And then it's like no longer theoretical, it's like actual. So that's when you can start to do your engineering and make your design flows and really start to see what you're going to get. So yeah. So I mean, we're steaming right along, and I think this is it's exciting, and people should see that this is going to become a mine, and mines get paid, and we haven't gotten paid yet. So folks, you know, Christmas sale is on already at Power Nickel. So fill your Christmas stockings. You won't be. I won't be the Christmas. I won't be the Christmas Grinch. I'll be the Christmas Lynch. So, we'll leave it at that.
I like that. I'm actually writing that down because I want to make sure I get that. I get that as a clip. Last question. Because things are going really well. Not perfect. Nothing ever goes perfect. I don't care what business you're in. Hell, yep. Google just announced yesterday they're delaying their AI large language model until January, February, because they can't get it right yet. So nothing ever goes perfect, and you're not either. But it's going pretty damn well. It's going pretty damn well. A year from now, here we are in December 2023. A year from now, if everything goes reasonably as expected, not perfect and not catastrophic, you know, somewhere around 80-85% of expectations.
Yes.
What are we talking about, 12 months from now?
So I would think we would have had identified at least another couple of pods that we'd have advanced them into our mineral resource, and we'd be looking at least doubling our resource from where we're at, so like getting to 15 million tons, and looking like it's going to get bigger. And I think we will have have delivered a feasibility study which shows, 3,500 ton per day plant, that we can probably generate, in the order of 500 million in free cash flow, so that would be just stunning. I think that my guess is we'll have put on a million ounces of PGMs on the balance, as well. So not only going to be a great nickel story, but we're going to have, these PGMs as a, phenomenal, either value enhancer for us in terms of, enhancing their revenue stream, or as a, if we need, on the financing side to get creative and in a way that, makes sense at the time. That becomes a separate stream that you could easily monetize in a big way. So it gives you a lot. That's one of the great things about having a polymetallic deposit like we have is, nickel is the primary thing, but we've got copper, we've got cobalt, we've got PGMs. So all those things give you a lot of financing flexibility. So I think, we would be, in really great shape. And I think we would be probably at that point be, moving towards a bankable feasibility study as the next step, looking to try and, get this in the, so we could, be constructing and identifying a construction pathway that obviously goes through the environmental process, which is going to be like 2 years, but we probably could look at like a 29, late 28, early 30, somewhere in that range, kickoff to this. So I would think we'd have a lot more visibility on that, 12 months from now.
I was going to say, the great thing about Power Nickel, in addition to everything we talked about today, is that in 12 to 15 months, I'll even add on a little cushion, but 12 to 15 months, we're going to have a pretty damn good idea about what Power Nickel's got. Unlike sometimes George Com Gold, I say, hey, we're drilling. I saw a shiny rock in Greece. We're going to drill this area. And it'll take us 5 years of drilling just to get an idea of what we got. You're talking about in 12-ish months, give or take, you have a really great idea about what Power Nickel's got, and then you'll be putting that into some kind of commercial application.
I think the exploration at NISC will probably take 2-3 years to see, and may go on for more. I mean, you don't know until you see, right? surface stuff, I think we could do in a couple of years. The deeper stuff, you know, could take a lot longer. But we're talking about putting, a much bigger envelope at that point in time. But I mean, that's going to be part of it, right? I mean, like you look at the Norilsk complex, it's vast, George, and it wasn't discovered in one day. You know what I mean? No. That thing's taken 30 years, you know, so that's what will happen here. So what we want to do is just, measure the football field. You know, we won't be able to drill it all in, but see how big is this football field? How deep is it? You know, so we're going to start to answer that, some of that next year, but it'll take some time. But the cool part about our approach is, you know, we only need really, you know, we've got what we need right now. That's why CVR is working this. They're working with us with the view that, hey, let's fast track this and get this in production ASAP, because we need the gear. We need the material. Wow. The world needs the material. We can get the capital stack together. And so that's why we're pursuing that, you know, and then at the same time, let's see how big this can be, because the neat thing about their model is it's a modular approach. So we can add, you know, other modules to it and add another 3,500 tons a day, you know, and so forth and so on. So the more, you know, lifespan we have for the mine, we can add, you know, another unit or two if that's justified. And so, you know, I think, at the end of the day, the dream would be that this would become a world-class mine, and a world-class mine would be defined as 1 million tons of contained nickel. So, 10 million tons is probably 1/10 of that. So you need to, get, if 1.5%, you're 15% of that. So you probably need, 70 million tons to get there. Could it be done? Could be done. Yeah, so that would make you one of the great
and
projects
of course,
in the world.
The power nickel story could go on for 20 years, like you said, but that first critical big, milestone, you within 12 months, we'll know just what that big first step is.
Yeah.
That's the best part, right? And then after that, just gravy.
Yes. Correct? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the cool part, and this is one of the observations I was making to people when I was in Europe in the last couple of weeks, I was saying, the great thing is, we delivered the goods this year. We did exactly what we said we're going to do. And we've been very, creative in getting the least amount of dilution for our shareholders, I think, as possible. We've put the money in the ground. We've made the progress. And now you can see how valuable it is. And it's not a risk for you to buy into that. You know, that stuff is going to get paid. And the question is, is just how big is the upside? Well, that's what you want. You want to sort of be walking into something that you know is going to get paid 3, 4, 5, 6 times your money at some point really soon. And then it's got potential 10 times beyond that, but you're not paying for it. So that's what you want to have.
Terry, awesome, man. Fantastic pre-Christmas conversation. It sounds like we're going to have a little bit more before Christmas. In a couple of weeks, there's more coming.
Lots of news coming. They've got the fleet tomorrow, which I think for anybody who's interested, just if you're interested in mining, you should be on that call to see this technology and how we'll show it live and how it's working. It's pretty interesting. So it's exciting for us, but it's also just intellectually exciting for anybody that's in the space to see how they can and could be using this technology to reduce their risk. So that's exciting. And then, of course, in about sometime in the next 2 weeks, we'll do a podcast with CVMR after the benchmark studies. And we'll, introduce the world to them, because they're obviously a private company and they're not used to doing these types of things, and they don't have to. They don't need to. They don't have to sing
for
their
dinner.
Well,
maybe that we can bring them on here to have a three-way conversation.
And
great for investors to hear from them as to what CVMR is seeing.
Yeah, 100%. I'm sure we could do that.
Thanks, Terry. Congratulations again. You delivered, 7.2 million tons in this first 43-101. Great. But the great part is all the goodies that come after that. This isn't just a straight ton dig and get it out of the ground and sell it for a couple bucks. There's just so much more, and can't wait. But great first milestone, my friend, and can't wait to have you back.
Thanks, George. Appreciate being on here. Cheers for now.
For everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform, to Terry Lynch of Power Nickel, Trades in Canada, PNPN. For our friends in the U.S., PNPN with an F on the end. And if you've heard everything here, and if you want to start your due diligence, if you're a new investor, then get to the company's page on the GoreCom to start your due diligence, because there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. And then head over to the Power Nickel website, do your deep dive due diligence. Because if you believe in the future of electric vehicles, the batteries are going to power them, the role that nickel is going to play, the importance of jurisdictional safety, Quebec, the importance of carbon neutral. They're in a great, not only they're in Quebec, but in a fantastic place in Quebec that gets their energy to them as clean as possible. Then you've got to do your due diligence with Power Nickel. And hopefully today you discovered your next amazing battery metals company. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.